This morning, before we pray, I want to share with you just a little bit. We're going to begin a series today titled His Church. His Church. And today the message is the unstoppable church. For a lot of Christians, going to church has become nothing more than going to a building where they sing some songs and then they listen to some guy talk and hope that it doesn't go too long and it's not too boring. One pastor was apologizing for going too long, and after the service, a woman tried to encourage him. She said, "Pastor, you didn't really go too long. It just seemed like a long time." But church is much more than going to a building and singing some songs and listening to some guy talk for a little while. You know, that's not only what the world thinks about church, but that's pretty much what most Christians think about church. We need to get a biblical view and understanding of what the church is. We need to see the church the way that Jesus sees the church. Every Christian needs to see the church the way Jesus does. We need to say about the church what Jesus says about the church. We need to think about the church the way Jesus would think about the church. We need to be passionate about the church the way Jesus is passionate about the church. You know, last week we talked about how important it is to have ears to hear, to have a hearing ear, to be not just hearing with a natural ear, but listening with the heart, that we would truly understand and take to heart the seed of the Word of God, whatever God is speaking to us, the truth that He has imparted to us, that we become good soil to receive that truth. Now, Peter received a great truth in Matthew chapter 16. If you want to go ahead and turn there, Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read verses 15 through 18. Peter had one of those experiences where he just got something fresh. He got something directly from God. And in verse 15, Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." See, he had gotten a revelation. The Father had revealed to him that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He didn't just hear it from a man. No, it was something that the Father had revealed to him. It was truth that had been imparted to him. But he goes on and he says, and, now see, he's already gotten one truth. But now Jesus says, "I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus gives us a revelation of truth that he is going to build his church, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, the revelation that Peter got was that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. He was born of a virgin birth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, was raised for our justification, and he sits at the right hand of the Father and he rules and reigns. Peter got a revelation that he was the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells us that it is upon that rock, that foundation, is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then Jesus gives us this truth, and this is where we are this morning. He says, "I will build my church, and even the very gates of hell will not be able to stop it." It is unstoppable. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is unstoppable. But we need to have hearts to hear this morning. I tell you, some people's hearts have become hardened towards this truth. that Jesus is building His church and nothing's going to stop it. Some people, their heart, the attitude of their heart is not right about the truth of Jesus' church because it's been choked out with all kinds of wrong voices, wrong seed that's gotten down in their heart, and it's choked out what God wants to do in their life regarding the church. Some people, their hearts have become so shallow that they can't really receive what God wants to do, the fullness of what God wants to do in their life in this truth. Jesus is building His church and nothing's going to stop it. So we're going to pray this morning that we will be good soil. I tell you, we pray this way so often, but I just fell in my heart this morning. We need to really pray this morning that our hearts will be receptive and good soil, that our hearts will truly bear fruit from the seed of the Word. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for the Word. I thank You for revelation truth. I thank You, Lord, the Holy Spirit, our teacher, is here to guide us into truth and to show us things, reveal things to us, to give us understanding that the carnal mind can't comprehend. And I pray, Father, that where there have been wrong attitudes, where there's been hurts and bitterness, Lord, where there have been a lack of commitment and devotion in our life, Father, I just pray that those things will be removed out of our heart, that our hearts would truly be good soil to receive, Lord, and to retain and to persevere and to bring forth fruit to Your honor and Your glory. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He said, I will build My church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Listen, His vision of the church is a victorious church. It is unstoppable. Not even the very gates of hell can stop it. We need to believe the word that Jesus spoke over His church, that He's building His church. It's guaranteed. It's a victory. He said it. I'm going to build My church and nothing's going to stop it. Listen, the church is the most powerful force in the world today. Now, some of you think that it's the U.S. military. No, it's not. I'm telling you, the church is the most powerful force in the world today. Well, we've got 300 million people in this country. Do you realize that there are 2 billion people in the world that profess Jesus Christ? Now, they may not all really be born again. And they may, many of them, be backslidden and not serving God, and maybe some that don't even know Him. But there are 2 billion people in the earth that profess Jesus Christ as Lord. But that's not why. It's not because of our sheer numbers. No, the church is the most powerful force in the world today because it is His church. And Jesus is the one that's behind it. And He has all power in heaven and earth. Amen. Listen, the church is the most powerful force in the world today because Jesus is working in and through His church. And He made this promise. He said, I will build My church. It's unstoppable. If He says it's so, then it's so. If He says He's going to do something, then He will. The Bible says that He is not a man that He should lie. I tell you, whatever He says, He will fulfill. For 2,000 years, Satan has done everything he could to try to stop the church or try to slow it down. He tried to kill it with persecution. He's tried to stop it with oppression. He's tried to destroy it with compromise. He's tried to undermine it from within through dead and vain religion. Nations and kingdoms have come and gone, but the church continues to grow. The church continues to get stronger, to be built. I tell you, it's unstoppable. The emperor Diocletian set up a stone pillar on which were inscribed these words, "For having exterminated the name Christian from the earth." He looks like a fool now, because the church just keeps going and going and going. He's long gone. Who's Diocletian? There are at least 2 billion people that know the name Jesus. Another Roman leader made a coffin symbolizing his intention to bury the Galilean by killing off Christians. wasn't too long after that he figured out he was never going to be able to put the master in that coffin, and he himself became a Christian. You know, the Roman Empire is absolutely amazing. It lasted for almost 500 years. Almost 500 years. Where is it now? It's gone. Great empire. But it came and went, and the church just went right on. And I want to tell you something. This may just shake your rock your world just a little bit. That's okay. Some of us need it. I believe the Lord is coming back in our generation. But if He doesn't, and I know some people say, oh, I know the time. Listen, no, you don't. There have been idiots way before you that knew. And come on now. 1984, what's the 2000, the year 2000, Y2K, it's here. Come on, you don't know. And if the Lord tarries, as much as this might rock your world, in 200 or 300 years, most of the great powers of this world today won't even be here anymore. They'll come and go. This nation has only been here for a little over a couple of 100 years, and they come and go. But what doesn't change is the church. It just keeps growing. It just keeps getting stronger and stronger as the years go by. And no matter what happens, somehow it emerges stronger. Even when it seems like sometimes we take a defeat or we lose some ground, yet the church just keeps emerging stronger. Sometimes it has to go underground, and still it flourishes through persecution where people can't worship or talk about the Lord openly, yet the church flourishes and grows. How can that be? Because Jesus Himself said, I will build my church, and nothing's going to stop it. Not even the gates of hell are going to stop it. He's going to build His church. I tell you, I'm glad to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody likes to be on a winning team. And the church is the only thing down here that's going up there. You know, people kind of get messed up ideas about the church and want to be critical of the church. Oh, it's His glorious church. It belongs to Him. And He's building His church. He said, I will build my church. Now, we know that He uses people, but we need to remember that ultimately it is Jesus that's building the church. He said, I will build my church. The same one who said, I am. It's the I am, the all-powerful. He's the one that said, I will build my church. Every one of us has a part in it. But ultimately, it is not up to the strength of man. It is not up to the wisdom or the methods and programs of man. No, He said it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. God's going to do it. By His power, by His Spirit. Listen, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. We can't do it on our own. It's Psalms 127 and 1. Lest the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. See, we're just working together with Him. We're partnering with Him. We're co-laborers together with God. But ultimately, it is Jesus that's building His church. I'm glad Jesus is the one that's building His church. Listen, as a pastor, I want you to know that responsibility doesn't all fall on me. I'm learning. All I'm supposed to do is pray and obey. We just plant and water. God's the one that gives the increase. And I'm telling you that He will do it. He will do what He said He would do. You know, in our generation, we've seen people backslide. We see people come and go in church. We see great men and women of God who have fallen. But the church just keeps going on. Jesus is still building His church. He said, I will. He said He would do it, and so you can write it down, you can count on it. If the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, who keeps covenant to 1,000 generations, if He says He's going to do something, then He's going to do it. He's a sovereign Lord. We pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Jesus taught us, pray this way. Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You want to know what his will is? He said, I will build my church. It's his will for his church to be built. And here's my prayer for Grace Church. Lord, build your church. And you know, when we talk about building a church in our generation, people always think of a building. And we want to build a building. But we don't want to build a building just so we can have a nicer place to meet. You know, just so you can have more stalls in the bathroom. Won't it be wonderful over there when we finally get in that new building? That's not what it's about. No, that new building is just about reaching people. It's so that we can not only have more room, but be more effective to reach people and to see people's lives changed. But the church is people, and Jesus is building his church. He wants to reach people. So my prayer for Grace Church is, Lord, build your church. And you know what? When we pray, the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:14 and 15, if we ask anything according to his will, we know, we have confidence, we know that he hears us and that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So when we pray, Lord, build your church, he said he was going to do it. We're just praying in agreement with his will. And we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. And nothing's going to stop it. Nobody can stop the plan of an almighty God. Job said, in Job 42:2, he said, I know that you can do everything that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. He said, I will build my church. He's not talking about building a building. He's talking about living stones. He's talking about changed lives. He's talking about people. The church is his people. The church are those people who, like Peter, believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who makes up the church. That's the universal church that Jesus is talking about. It's everybody that puts their faith in the Son of the living God. You know, there's a lot of opposition. There's a lot of people that try to tear down the church. Here's the weird thing. Most of them are Christians. Christians do far more harm to the church and tear down the church. They're way better at it than unbelievers. I knew a man one time who came to church almost every Sunday. And then all week long, he was on a mission to go out and tell the rest of the community how sorry the church was and how bad a shape it was in. He would stop at the gas station, the convenience store, and go inside and tell the attendant how terrible the church was. And he'd be there again the next week. It's amazing to me. But you know, on some scale, I've seen a lot of people do that. They go to church and then they talk bad about the church. And you know, when I say the church, we're not just talking about an organization. See, the church isn't a building. It's not an organization. The church is people. We need to always remember that. The church is not a building, and it's not an organization. It is the people. But Jesus is building his church. Don't be a part of tearing it down. We need to remember what team we're on. We're here to build the church, not tear people down, but to build people up. And it's going to get bigger and stronger because that's what he does. He builds the church. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Nothing's supposed to come out of your mouth but what is useful for building others up. That's the way one translation puts it. Only what is useful for building others up. Now, some people, they can't. As soon as they get in the car, they got something negative to say about somebody at church. Only what is useful for building others up. Don't tear down. Your job as a Christian, as a part of the body of Christ, is to build others up, not tear down. Listen, if you're tearing down, you're working against Jesus because he's building his church. We got to always be building up. Don't be a griper and a complainer, but be excited about what Jesus is doing in his church. I'll tell you, if we're excited about church and excited about the Lord, then we'll bring people to church. People will want to come to church with you. If you're excited about church, people will want to come to church with you. Now, some of you say, I can't get anybody to come to church. Well, maybe it's because of your attitude about church. Who wants to go if you've been griping about stuff at church? Or who wants to go if you're not excited about it? No, if you want people to go to church with you, you need to talk like, whether it's true or not, you just call those things that be not as though they were and say, man, you got to come hear our pastor. He's great. You just go ahead and tell him we got the best worship team in the world. Seriously, you need to be excited about what Jesus is doing in the world today in His church. And you know, when I say that, I know that there's such an attitude in our society right now. It's so common and so prevalent, and it's so diabolical. It is of the devil that wants to put the emphasis away from the church and say, oh, we don't even need the church, just me and Jesus. That's not scriptural. Jesus is building His church. And every person who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has become a part of the body of Christ. And we are all, the Bible says, that each one of us is a part of it, but we all are to work together to see the church built. Amen. We're going to read it in Scripture in just a minute. But we need to be building His church. When I say building His church, we're talking about reaching people. We need to be involved in reaching people around the world and giving to missions, sending out missionaries. And if you go out there and you look at our missions board, you'll see quite a number of missions and different types of works that we support. That's not all of them, but that's most of them. And we support those on a monthly basis. But did you know that almost nobody in our church gives to missions unless we have a missionary in on a Wednesday night and we take an offering? Almost nobody gives on a regular basis. And I want to tell you, I take the blame for that, for not having promoted it and pushed it and given you the opportunity. And part of the reason for that is I'm a typical preacher. I'm afraid to talk about money because of what somebody's going to think. But I'm just telling you, we need to be building the church. And God wants us to be a part of that. Do you know the church gave, the people in America gave $2.9 billion to missions last year? Now, I'm not sure at the accuracy of these figures, and I don't think it was technically last year, but anyway, they gave $2.9 billion one year to missions. That sounds like a lot of money. Until you consider the fact that they spent $23 billion on their pets. But nobody says anything about that. Those churches are trying to get your money to send them to missions, you know. Well, it gets worse. Most of us would think we're just absolutely suffering, but what if we all gave up soft drinks? Did you know $58 billion is spent per year on soft drinks in this country? $58 billion for soft drinks. 2.9 goes to missions, though. It gets worse. $354 billion is spent every year in this country to eat at restaurants. How many of you going to the restaurant when the service is over today? I just lost some of you. Listen. What if we just said, just for the Lord, we said, you know what, we're eating at home from now on. We're not going out to restaurants. Three, think of what we could do for the kingdom. I'm not saying you should do that, but I'm just saying we need to be building the kingdom. Not our kingdom, His kingdom. We need to be building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, be about the Master's business. And I want to challenge you this morning. It's not just about missions. No, if we're building the church, we need to be fulfilling the great commission Jesus said to go into all the world and make disciples. But it's not just about sending money to Africa. It's about you personally being willing to go and to make disciples, to be involved in the work of the Lord, to be involved in reaching out to other people, to be involved in discipling somebody else. Listen, Jesus has made it clear how He's going to build His church. It's not going to be through the TV. It's not going to be through the radio. Now, I want you to understand me. I thank God for Christian TV and Christian radio, but that's not how disciples are made. Jesus taught and He lived an example. He showed them how, and then He helped them do it. That's how He made disciples. And the same principles still work today. You can't just tell somebody, well, you need to live for God. You need to show them how. You got to help them walk through it. We're to make disciples. And so I want to challenge you today. Help build His church. Get involved. Be a part of that. Of making disciples. Changing lives. Most church leaders say 10 or 20% of the people do 80 or 90% of the work. I think our percentage is slightly better than that. Maybe 30, 70. But where does that leave the 70? And just think of what we could be if we were hitting on all cylinders. I'm just hearing the voices right now. Hearing voices in my head. We got to pray for the pastor. I'm hearing it. Oh, you know, I got issues with the church. I got, you know, things that happen. Listen, it's time for you to let God deal with some of that garbage, what's keeping you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Keeping you from being unfruitful. No, listen, we need to get involved. We need to be a part of what He's doing. We're all a part of building up the body, seeing the body of Christ built up and get stronger and bigger. Be a part of what He's doing. I tell you, every born-again Christian has a responsibility to be a part of it. I remember when I was just a little guy on a little league baseball team, my coach had an old school bus that he had kind of renovated and turned into a makeshift RV. And one time he took us up to the lake for a little trip, and when we got ready to leave, that bus wouldn't start. Well, it was a standard transmission, and so we all got out of the bus to push start that bus. Now, what do you think would have happened? We all weighed, you know, 60, 70 pounds. What do you think would have happened if one of us got out and tried to push start that bus? I'm talking about the church right now. What if one just tried to push start that bus? It wouldn't get very far. Well, what if five? No. Even half of us couldn't have done it. We could have had half out there and half still sitting on the bus. I can tell you, it just wouldn't have happened. Too much dead weight. I'm still talking about the church. But we got all of us out there pushing that bus. It started moving and it started. We all got on and took off. And you know, it's the same way in the church today. The Bible says it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. But what we usually have in the body of Christ is half pushing and half sitting on the bus is dead weight, and most of the time they end up sticking their head out the window saying, "You're not doing it right." And I invite you to get out of the bus and push. Get out and put your weight into it. Now listen, you say, "Well, Pastor, we don't have to push. We just let the Holy Ghost make it go." Listen, Jesus is the one who powers it, but He uses His people. He works through us. And the Bible says very plainly that each one of us has a part. Listen, the NIV in Ephesians 4:16 puts it this way. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There it is. It builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we need to realize that we are all members of the same body. We all are to be working together, all pulling the same direction. You know, that's one of the crazy things about the church today is it seems like people start all trying to pull in different directions. God never works through chaos. He doesn't work through division and strife. He always works through unity. And He calls us together in unity. We got to be pulling together for the same thing. Let me tell you what it really is. It's to see changed lives. It's to see disciples made. That's the commission He gave us. It's to reach people. It is to see Jesus build His church in and through us. We got to all be pulling in the same direction. But I challenge you this morning, add your weight. Add your weight. You might say, oh, well, I couldn't make any difference. No, all of us together can, though. He said, I will build my church. It's His church. Make no mistake about it. It belongs to Jesus. He died for the church. He gave His life for it. He purchased it with His own blood. It belongs to Him. Bought and paid for. I pastored at a church one time where it was made clear to me that the church belonged to certain people. Me and one of the board members happened to be at a certain place, and a man that we both knew, a mutual friend, came in, and that man says to the board member, he says, oh, I didn't know you went to Mark's church. He says, I don't. He goes to ours. Wasn't my church. Wasn't his church. It's Jesus' church. Pastored another church where it was known all over town. Oh, well, that family, a certain family, that's their church. No, it's not. It's Jesus' church. And I'm so glad that Grace Church is Jesus' church. It doesn't belong to a certain person or family or group of influential people. It's Jesus' church. It belongs to Him. He said, I will build my church. And I tell you, Jesus loves His church. Ephesians 5:25 says, husband loves your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. That's how much He loves the church. He gave Himself for her. The church is His bride. One of these days, we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I want to tell you something. You don't talk bad about somebody's bride, especially when their name is Jesus. Don't speak against the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know how it goes. We start being critical, and then we can excuse ourselves by saying, oh, well, you know, they're not really part of the church. You better watch out. You don't speak against His bride. You don't speak against one of those that He loves, that He has bought and paid for with His own precious blood. You say, well, they're a hypocrite. They're not doing what they ought to be doing. Listen, if we got rid of all of the people with faults in this church, there wouldn't be nobody here. And I suppose somewhere there's this perfect church out there with all those perfect people that have no need of a Savior, but I got news for you, they're going to hell. Jesus' church is always going to be imperfect people, but He is washing His church, the Bible says, with the washing of the water of the Word. He is preparing for Himself a glorious church. He loves the church. Be careful what you say about His church. You know, a lot of people nowadays act like they're embarrassed to be part of the church, especially if you're talking about a Spirit-filled church. I'm not embarrassed to be a part of the church. I'll tell you, the church, the only thing down here that's going up there, Jesus loves the church. It's a glorious church. I'm proud to be a part of the Lord Jesus Christ church. Amen. And you know, Jesus loves the church, but a lot of people act like, in fact, they'll even say things, they can take it or leave it. They don't think it's important. Jesus loves the church. And I want to tell you what makes it unstoppable. It's because it's His. because it's His church. He said, I will build my church. The church is made up of those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. It means literally to be called out, those that are called out. But it refers to a group of people that have been separated out and brought together for a purpose. See, Jesus is the first one to ever use that word in the Bible, right there in Matthew. Matthew 16, when he used the word church, that's the first time that that word had been used. But in his culture, that word was used, ekklesia was used to refer to a group of people that were brought together to listen to the will of the emperor. And then they would go out and carry out the will of the emperor. And that's exactly what Jesus has called us out to hear His will and to go and to carry out His will, to go and to make disciples, to teach all nations. That's what He's called us to do. And I want you to understand that that church is a group of people that have become God's people. Listen to this from 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you were not a people. See, we came from all different backgrounds and cultures and lifestyles. Once we were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Titus 2, 13 and 14. Jesus Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own. That's what the church is. It is a people that are His very own, that belong to Him. That's His church. He called us out of darkness, called us out of dead religion, called us unto Himself to be His people. And it is that rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is that foundation that the church is built on. Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. And He builds His church on that foundation alone, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not built on a denomination. It's not built on somebody's ability. It's not built on the methods and the programs of man. It is not built on any doctrine other than this foundation alone. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want to tell you, I believe a lot of things. There are so many promises and so many truths in the Word of God. And I believe so many things. I believe in healing. But you can't build the church on healing. I believe in signs and wonders. But you can't build the church on signs and wonders. That's shakeable. I believe in end times. But you can't build the church. See, some people try. They try to build the church on end times. I believe in praying in tongues and having a prayer language where I can speak out of my spirit and talk to God. But you can't build a church on tongues. You see, a lot of people get mixed up about this and they try to build the church on the wrong foundation. Paul made it very clear, 1 Corinthians 3:11, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, where people get messed up and get in strife and division is when they try to make something else the foundation. All of those other things bring strife and division when you make those the foundation. No, we need to remember what unifies us is this. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. People say, oh, well, the church can't ever have unity. Then you need to read John 17 because Jesus prayed that we would be one. He prayed that we would be one so that the world would know that the Father has sent Him. Jesus didn't pray faithless prayers. He didn't say things and pray things that weren't going to happen. And how can the church possibly be in unity? Because this is our foundation. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And whether we agree on this doctrine or that doctrine, we all come together in unity as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on that foundation. And I just want to encourage you. You know, some people say, oh, well, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That's what the Bible says. And I agree with you on these 99 things, but here's this one I don't agree with you on, so we're going to have to leave. You don't even agree with yourself all the time. Most of you, there are things you believe today that 5 years ago or maybe even just a year ago you didn't believe. So you don't even agree with yourself. Some people want to get a divorce because they disagree with their spouse about something. What? How long is a marriage going to last that's on that basis? No, none of us agrees with everybody on anything all the time. Come on. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is our foundation. Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God. We believe in His virgin birth, His sinless life, His death on the cross, His resurrection, and that He is reigning King and Lord at the right hand of the Father. And listen, when we believe that, then we can come together in unity and worship, and we can come together in the body of Christ to fulfill that great commission and to do what Jesus has called us to do in this world. Now, I tell you, when we do that, we are unstoppable. We just need to remember what's really important in this world, what's really important in this life. It is seeing the Lord Jesus build His church. It's seeing lives changed. It's seeing people reconciled to God, restored in relationship to God. People that you know that are not walking with God, that aren't where they should be with the Lord. They may profess the name of Jesus Christ, but they don't really have a relationship with Him on a daily basis. They're not really serving God. They may even call Him Lord, but they're not making Him Lord of their life. You and I are called to teach. You and I are called to help them, to show them. You and I are called to bring them in. Listen. Church, we need to be about the Master's business and not lose sight of what's really important. When David wanted to build the temple, he said, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, he's young and inexperienced." He says, the task is great. But David was talking about a physical temple. God is building a spiritual temple made of living stones of changed lives. But David said this in verse 5, he says, of 1 Chronicles 29, verse 5, he says, "The gold work, the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen, now, who is willing to consecrate himself to the Lord?" And what David was saying is, who's willing to dedicate themselves, to separate themselves and say, "I'm going to work to build this temple. I really believe that Jesus is calling us to build His church." It's Jesus that ultimately builds it, but we read it right there in Ephesians chapter 4. Each one of us has a part in it. As each one of us does its part, the body is built up in love. So I challenge you today, consecrate yourself. Make up your mind that you're going to be a part, that you're going to love the church. Get rid of those old attitudes that have hindered you. I tell you, they're not from God. Listen, if it's hindering you, listen, some people say, "Oh, well, I don't need the church." Let me tell you, you will never reach your full effectiveness and fruitfulness unless you are a part of the church. The church is a living organism, and when we just separate ourselves out and we say, "I don't need you," to the rest of the body, I tell you, we have pulled ourselves out from that involvement and that strength that God intended for us to have. And we're never going to be able to impact many of the lives that we could have. And so I just challenge you and encourage you, put aside, lay aside old negative attitudes about the church, and let's get on board. Let's be excited about what God is doing in the earth today. Amen. Let's all pull in the same direction. Let's believe God and see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ grow and be built. In Jesus' name. Well, stand with me as we pray. Our prayer partners are going to come. I just encourage you once again, as we pray, you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for a people that you have called out. You've brought out of so many walks of life and brought together for a purpose to make us a people your very own. And Father, I just pray that you would breathe upon us. Lord, that you would pour your Spirit out upon us, that there would be fresh strength in our midst. Father, to do your will. Lord, not just so that we would be blessed or that we would feel good. Oh, but Father, that we might be used for your honor and glory, that we would bear much fruit to your glory. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that there not be one person in this building today that doesn't have a desire, doesn't have a commitment to be involved, to work for your kingdom, to build your church. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that revelation that Peter had, that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you believe that in your heart and you'll put your trust in him, then you'll be born again. And I want to encourage you, in just a moment, take advantage of this opportunity to come and pray. You walk out of those doors, yes, you can pray anytime. But so often when people don't respond to the Word of God, the evil one comes and snatches that Word away. And they go their way and they're unchanged. So I encourage you, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, turn your life over to Him today. Begin this new life in Christ. It's an abundant life. It's the best kind of life. But you got to turn your life over to Him and let Him be the Lord of your life. I also want to encourage you this morning that if you come with a need in your life, whether it's a physical need in your body or a need in your family, whatever it might be, these prayer partners are here to agree with you in prayer. Some of you need to come today and say, you know what? I need to get my attitude and my heart right about the church. It's time. Some of you need to come and say, you know what? I haven't been being involved. I've been sitting back and it's time for me to get involved. And this is just a way for you to let God know you're serious about being committed and being a part of the church. And I just encourage you today, there may be some that have had some hurts and disappointments in the past that are keeping you from moving forward in what God wants you to do. And I encourage you to let God deal with that today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.